Hello. Hi, Nana. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. The week is trudging along. I mean, we're just going to blink over the chaos and anarchy that's going on in the country. Like, you know.
Insurrections, sedition. I mean, I'm using all the words that some media won't use. So, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, like 2020 prepped us. 2021 is like, I'm not no bitch.
Yes.
I'm going to show you what I am up front. So, yeah. So,
but it's okay. 2020 toughened us. So, we're ready for
So, yeah. But other than that, I'm good. Ready to discuss this episode. And for some reason, so season one was 12 episodes. I'm just now realizing that season two is 18 episodes.
That was a shock to me too, I'm not gonna lie. I was just how many episodes?
Yeah, I was all ready to be like the penultimate episode and, you know, one more. And I'm like, oh no, we have six more.
And I actually checked the other seasons. I just feel like they were playing Higgy Hagger with the amount of episodes because they're kind of all over the place for every season. There's no consistency.
Because I think the last season was split 2AA and 8B, so like 8 episodes each or something
yes,
like that.
Yes.
So, yeah, all the cool shows were doing it because Mad Men did that too.
Oh,
But, anyways, we are at episode 11 and it's called Evolution. And trust me, guys, you know that thing we said where we said they come up with a theme and they just try to roll with it the entire episode? There was a lot of evolution references that I just checked out after some point. But yeah, this is the episode where, again, Karen Big continues this childishness and Carrie's trying to move stuff into Big's house. Miranda finds out she has like a lazy ovary. Charlotte is dating someone whose sexuality she's unsure of. And Samantha has a decent storyline, actually, this episode. And she hooks up with an ex-flame.
You're right. Everyone actually had a storyline this episode, didn't they?
Yeah. So it's good and bad. Samantha has a good storyline, but it's also an episode where they weren't together a lot. They've kind of spoiled us in the last two episodes where they've been around each other, and you know how we enjoy those episodes where they're together all the time. So
yeah.
So I'll just dive in. In a rare move, the episode starts with Miranda, guys. I was shocked myself. But her legs were spread at the OBGYN, and Carrie tells us that there's nothing more humiliating for a woman than a visit to the gynecologist. Do you agree with that? Because
no.
I don't.
And I was I'm just like, your life must be very charmed if that's the most humiliating thing you ever think.
Yeah. Like, I find, like, it's a stressor, but only because I have my own history with hospitals and doctors, and it's like these, like, they can't wait to give you whatever news they have. So it's normal stress of like, what are they going to say and all that, but humiliation. Oh,
no. You know, it's so weird because it actually made me think of like my first ever pap smear, which was in the UK, and it was a male doctor. So obviously I was already kind of freaking out about it because, you know, it's like your first one. And then it was like a male doctor. And it was just, I just felt like it was so painful. And I thought that was the norm until the pap smear I had like last year. And this was my second with a female doctor. And I was just like, I genuinely feel like female gynecologists especially are just so much better because they don't just like treat you like you're an inanimate object. I feel like they actually take their time not to make things painful for you because nobody wants to have their legs up in the air with someone shoving like, what are they called? Is it a speculum like inside you? And I genuinely feel like male doctors just go out of their way. Not out of their way. They just don't care.
Yeah, so go ahead. No, I was gonna talk about that later because Samantha made a reference, but I was just thinking, I was gonna say, like, I think the whole pap smear has evolved from how it was. I don't think they still do a speculum. That's pretty outdated.
What I'm trying to, is that what it's called?
It's just like a swab. Yeah.
I still had the thing that holds you open. I don't know why it's gone out of my head. I know what it's called, but it's gone out of my head. But oh. Yeah, every time I've had, I still had that. Anyway, but you guys know.
Maybe what I mean. Right, like a speculum. Maybe I'm thinking of the other, but there was something that they've stopped now. But maybe
really?
I'm looking at the wrong thing. I've just never had it to be painful. Like a little
pressure,
but again, I have my own issues, but yeah. It's never been like the only thing is scoot your bottom down all the way to the bottom. And then
they always tell you to scoot and then you feel like an idiot. Just like
yeah, I think the only thing that might be actually that part doesn't like hurt. It's just when they do the checking of your cervix or your uterus, yes. They put their hand in the stomach and the man, we go through a lot as women.
We do. But yeah, all of that to say, no, they are definitely worse and more humiliating things as a woman.
Yeah, and opinion. They've seen it all. Like, what exactly are you humiliated about? Mm-hmm. Anyway, as long as you're not going in there like a stank coochie, dripping coochie, I don't know what to tell you. But anyways, Miranda tells her OBGYN that she doesn't need the pill anymore, and her doctor asks her why, and she says she got on it for Steve, and she doesn't need a reminder every day that they broke up. I found that interesting because, again, everybody has different experiences with birth control. But the fact that you could just go on, off, depending on if you're dating. I thought that was, okay, wait, let me go back. I think that was lazy writing. Before yes. She met Steve, she was dating people. Anyways, it wasn't even like, I would think it would be the opposite. Like, she met Steve and she wanted to be on the pill, but she's been dating randos. That in general, you didn't want to be on the pill for them, so you got on it for Steve. And I just don't think it takes at least 3 months for your body to regulate on the birth control pill. So for you to now keep saying, no, I want to go off it. Oh, I want to go on it. Like, I'm just looking at her like,
I 100% agree. Because when I saw that scene, I was like, there's no way, Miranda. I feel like her character would be on the pill, like, already. Yeah. Like probably since she was like 18 or something. Do you know what I mean? She just seems like that type of character. And I also don't think she would go off it just because she broke up with Steve. It just didn't ring true to me.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll just roll with it and just assume that a man wrote it. And she says, the doctor now says, and this is something doctors do that's so ridiculous. They be giving you like negative news and still smiling and you're just shook like, did you just say what he said? Because you seem to be fine, but you just rock my world. And she's like, she says, everything looks fine, but you have a lazy ovary. And she's like, excuse me? And she's like, your right ovary has stopped producing eggs. And, you know, they switch over to her telling the girls, and she goes like, you know, it's like her right ovary knows and is giving up hope and doesn't even think that she'll ever get married. And she calls herself a biological underachiever. And you know, I can sympathize with Miranda because it's not like, you know, she even knew she wanted kids or anything. But I really, really hate that this is one thing that hinders women. It's just like, this just a biological, like there's never been anything more true than the biological clock ticking.
Yep.
It kind of sounds like you don't have a choice whether you want it, whether you don't. Like either way, at some point, the fact that we're kind of like a car. When you drive a car off the lot, the value starts going down. I mean, that's a little extreme. But once you're born, the more you live, the more eggs you lose. Like, it's just fact and it's just what it is. And it's just like, man, the fact that that hinders us and just like your fertility being a thing and the fact that men can just have sperm working up until, that's why Alec Baldwin is 62 and birthing kids every year. And a woman at that age just doesn't have that option. It just, man, even nature is in the patriarchy.
You can't escape biology at the end of the day, and it sucks, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. But Samantha continues being surfaced by just blurting out like, oh, I need a new gynecologist. Do you like yours? I'm like, oh my God, this girl is so self-centered. And then Samantha says she tried to have a gynecologist and it was weird having a man down there without an orgasm and it was too weird. And I'm like, okay, Samantha. But I was gonna bring that up. And you've mentioned how, you know, they were more sensitive. And I had the opposite. So I've always said that I wanted a female gynecologist and I've always had females, but I find the best gynecologist I've ever had is the one and only male one that I've ever had.
Ooh, and lucky you.
Sensitive. And I found what the difference was a lot of the female gynecologists tend to project their own experiences onto you. So even yes. when you're saying, like, I'm in pain or something, and like, oh, it's not that bad, but maybe it's not that bad for you. So it's hard to separate. It's more like, oh, I know what you're going through. So, you know.
Okay, I see that angle. I see that angle, definitely. Because I've always felt like with the male doctors I've had, I just feel like they kind of don't take pain as seriously because yeah. they think they know everything. And in my head, I'm always thinking, how the hell do you know? But I also, yeah. I've had some like, a doctor I saw a few years ago, literally, like, no offense, she made me think twice about even having African doctors because she was African. And she spent the whole consultation. First, she asked me how old I was. She's like, oh, you don't have kids. She's like, don't you want children? And I'm like, well, yeah, but I don't want to have kids by myself. And if I don't ever have kids, I'm not going to die. And she's like, well, that's what my sister did. She just ended up having a kid by herself. I strongly suggest you just do. And I, in my head the whole time, I was thinking, you wouldn't be saying all of this if I wasn't also African. You would never, ever, ever do this to, like, a non-African patient. And she literally went on for ages about how, like, yes, yeah, society, she knows it's hard as Africans, but how, like, as a woman, we're like, we have to have children. Like, that's what, like, you won't be complete with that. No, she literally said that. Okay. And I was looking at her like, fam, like, you would never do this if it wasn't the fact that I was also African. So it kind of also put me off African doctors. And I know it's just like one person, but it just made me really reconsider, like, if I ever wanted that type of doctor again, you know?
Yeah, see, I see that goes too far, because I was going to say, like, every gynecologist, especially as I got older in my 30s, they kept bringing up kids, like, you want to have kids. And then the male gynecologist, he gave me a whole thing about, you know, having kids. He even gave me prenatal vitamins. I was like, I don't have anybody. He's like, think positive, but you need to, you know, what are you going to do? What do you think about? And I'm looking back on it. To be fair, I've been good. And at the end of the day, I still prefer women gynecologists, if I'm being honest, because to your point, sometimes maybe the man doesn't understand, but I think the one I had, who I say was like the best, was overcompensating for that. So he goes the extra mile. Because I don't understand, so I just want to make your experience. But yeah, I've had some really good gynecologists. I will say one of them, not a really a crossover, I saw on TV. She was on a Married at First Sight. I was looking at
her.
Yeah. And it's just like, I know this face. Why do I know this face? And then we're in Texas. And that was when I lived in Texas. I was like, hey, there goes my OBGYN. All right,
famous. Love it. At the end of the day, I just feel like healthcare providers, it's like all a crapshoot. You get really lucky with some and some are awful. It is what it is.
Because at the end of the day, it's money. So.
Yep.
So Carrie is trying to pay for their food and she accidentally drops her underwear on the table and the girls are making fun of her and she tells them that she's spending the night at Biggs. And Samantha says, after all this time, don't you have a drawer in this place? And she says Biggs is weird about that stuff. Miranda says, all men are. I disagree.
Thank you. I also disagree. I'm like,
no, not necessarily. I mean, someone you're dating for over a year. Round two, okay. And she goes, that's why you stake your claim. Carrie says, it's not a landmine, it's a relationship. And Samantha says, exactly. Talk to him about it. If Samantha's giving you good advice, check yourself. So Carrie says, with Big, it's best to walk softly and carry a big purse. And I'm just like, I feel like, okay. Let me say that with Carrie and Big, we're becoming redundant. Like, I don't know what else to say except she's saying it's not a landmine, it's a relationship, but that is how she operates. Like, it's a landmine. Yep. Like, you're scared to things, you're scared to want things, you're scared. I don't know.
And I just feel like there's so much grace I would have given Carrie if she hadn't told us she was dating Big for a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, previously. Ever since that, I feel like I'm cutting her less and less slack because I'm like, girl, come on. And I just feel like you're a grown woman. Like, do you want... Why must everything always be so difficult? Is she not tired? Because I'm tired, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. So Charlotte chimes in, agreeing. That's a bad sign when Charlotte is agreeing with you. And says it's important to remain a creature of mystery. Miranda tells them how she found a scrunchie with Steve so random, and Carrie says half her music collection are from exes. Charlotte says, oh, she never keeps things from exes, she just gives it back. And Carrie's like, oh, hell no, like it's a parting gift for her when she finds things. And I think it's different with these women in terms of, like, I was thinking about it from my perspective, like, oh, do I have enough knickknacks to keep or whatever? I don't even have, everything I can think of is like gifts, not things like they've owned. But with these women, I'm thinking that theirs is different because they date a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think they date? Do you think the TV show showed them dating? Like, is that the average woman's dating? Or do you think it was like way more?
I feel like, I don't find it that strange, especially because of like where they live and the kind of lifestyle they live. They're also, I feel like it'd be different if they lived in, I don't know, like a small town in Kansas or somewhere. Your dating pool is going to be a lot smaller. And also people are going to be more in your business. In a bigger city, everyone has their own little circles, their own little tribe. And I just feel like there's, depending on who your tribe is, and clearly they're not like judgy like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that weird for them to date that much.
No, I don't think it's weird. I'm just saying, like, do you think that it was a good representation?
Oh,
Like, is that for the average person, or do you think it was more? Like, did they represent the average woman? Unless I change it to, did they date the average woman in New York? Is that how much they dated, or do you think it was more because it was a TV show?
Huh, that's an interesting question, actually. I've never thought about it like that. Maybe there's a part of me that thinks maybe it's a bit more because it's a TV show. Because sometimes they literally have like new people every single episode, you know?
Yeah, but we also don't have a time span, so we never know. So Samantha calls them sexual souvenirs. So yeah, Samantha. And then Miranda says, I dated a bartender and all I got was this lousy ovary. And everyone was just like, awkward. I was like, what are you saying, Miranda? Like, oh, God. I mean, to be fair, I don't want to knock it down. Like, she's grieving a relationship. So, you know, there's that.
And she's probably freaked out as well by getting that news on top of it.
Yeah.
And she's trying to deal with it with humor. But yeah, I get it.
I actually don't think the girls were so comforting to her. But again, this group, I think Charlotte at least, but you know what? Do you remember back when Miranda was trying to tell them about her phone and, you know, they all want to talk about boys? I don't know if they listened to Miranda when she wants to say stuff. Because imagine if Carrie was the one who got the news, or Carrie broke up with someone, all we'll talk about was that. And all we'll do is listen to her. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to get, not like buck, sometimes you have to get a bit real with your friends. Like, hi, guys. Like, I'm serious about this. It's freaking me out. I don't think you guys are taking me seriously.
Yeah.
I feel like if she did, they would be more willing. Because sometimes we fall into roles in our friendship groups, and it's hard to, like, push out of that. That's why Miranda, like, in that previous episode, it was, like, an outburst.
Yeah.
Because clearly something that had been building up.
Yeah.
So maybe if she also forces them to see, like, no, I'm serious, this isn't a joke thing, that they would maybe be better. But I agree with you. I feel like they should have done a lot better in comforting her in that scene, for sure.
So the next day at Biggs, Carrie thinks that if things left behind are archaeological evidence, I told you the evolution theme, she should be able to leave something. So she opens his medicine cabinet and leaves a mini hair dryer. This girl did not start small, but she started keeping, she started leaving, like, you know, little things, and we see her leave things on there. We see Big get aspirin from the cabinet. He looks confused, but he didn't say anything. We already clocked Big. Big is not going to say anything. He knows that she's on one of her antics again, like a little child, but he's not going to say anything.
It tickles me. I'm not even going to lie.
So,
say it with your chest or not at all.
Yeah, right. Yeah. She ain't got no chest. So...
Mm-hmm.
So Carrie's in the voiceover, and she's telling us that Charlotte was tired of Neanderthals, again, evolution theme, beat us over the head with it, and men, and was spending time with a gay friend who catered parties for the gallery. He's a dessert chef named Stéphane Bourdain. What a name. Interesting name choice. But they're walking down the street, and she thanks him for inviting her, and tells her that he can call her anytime to hang out, that it's just refreshing to talk to a guy that she can actually talk to. What a sentence. But I was like, okay. He hails her a cab and the cab just drives past. She hails it and it stops. And as she enters the cab, he grabs her and kisses her. She says nothing and looks really perplexed as the cab drives away. She's telling the girls at a bar and is confused if he's gay or if he's straight. Carrie, in our things that don't hold up very well and very yikes moment, says, is he a straight gay man or is he a gay straight man? Nana, did you shudder? Because I'm like, huh?
This whole storyline made me shudder. So.
Oh, it was awful. Whole thing,
why were we told that he was a gay man?
Like, because she thought. Yes, she thought he was gay the whole time. So, because
the whole episode, I was very confused because they introduced that, like, Charlotte's gay friend,
yeah,
and then later on they're questioning whether he's gay or not. I'm like, so did this man tell you he was gay or did you just assume he was gay? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they never.
And then you realize that she just clearly assumed he was gay. She didn't actually ask him.
Yeah, they never told us why she thought he was gay. So they tell us that Carrie tells us that a gay straight man is a new strain of hetero man spawned in Manhattan as a result of overexposure to fashion, exotic cuisine, and musical theater. What the fuck?
I'm like cringing.
This is bad. So Samantha says, hopefully he's a gay straight man who is a great guy with great qualities versus a straight gay guy who plays sports but won't fuck you. Anyways, as they're talking, Miranda takes a pill and explains that they're hormones to jumpstart her ovary. Charlotte says that, oh, that reminds me of my mom, that I think my mom is taking those for menopause. And again, I feel like you just breeze through it because next thing Carrie's like bringing up her tiny purse. And I was like, hey, have you noticed I'm carrying a tiny purse and it's panty free? And mentions all the things that she's left at his house. And then she makes a big production of how she did a number two at Biggs for the first time. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so I'm one of those people, like, I don't like to fart in front of people, burp in front of people, and I will also overthink it if I do have to do a number two, like, in front of someone I'm dating. I am one of those people. I can put my hands up. I will overthink it to death. But I have dated someone who, like, made it very comfortable. Because one time I was, like, complaining that my stomach was hurting.
Yeah.
And he was like, just use a bathroom. And I was like, no, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that. And he's like, fam, like, it's okay. And I do think it depends on the person you're dating and how comfortable they make you feel with it.
Yeah.
Like, I also don't want to be around one of those men that thinks, oh, women should only be feminine at all times. They don't want to know anything else, because me being contrary, that's going to make me want to do the opposite. But I will say it doesn't come naturally to me. I do like to, I'm just not that type. And I think it's okay if people are, but I'm just not like that. So I got the concern. Definitely understood it.
I would
feel like I'd unlocked a new level of familiarity if I was that comfortable to, like, just do a number two and all of that. So I get it.
And I ordinarily I would get it, and I still get it, but I think it's just because it's carrying big, where, like, even the littlest thing, like, oh my god, I got to wear my t-shirt in front of him because he already makes me feel inferior or less than. So I'm just like, okay, but good job. Again, we're here, round two, but okay. And then this whole time, Samantha high fives her, but then 12-year-old Charlotte is all, no, you shouldn't do that. And then they're like, it's a good sign that you're comfortable. Karen's like, no, it's a good sign that I'm comfortable. And Charlotte's like, no, it's the end of the romance. And honestly, I was going to just slap Charlotte because I'm just like...
It made me laugh. I'm not going to lie, because it was so Charlotte. I just knew.
It was the 12-year-old all over again. I'm like, gosh. But I guess she has to provide balance. So, but I will tell you what I like. I like the dissonance of Samantha high-fiving her and Charlotte being, no!
She literally looked like the world had ended.
Yeah.
Like, it just cracked me up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So Carrie says it's hard in New York, which is true. I can agree with this one, where apartments are so small. And then Samantha says, that's why she dates Rich, because there's space. Charlotte was like, I would never. And then Charlotte says, you're so uptight. You need to do a number 7.
That scene was actually funny. Like, for Samantha, I'm like, that's why you shouldn't date broke boys. Step up. They have several bathrooms. And then Charlotte's reaction, it just made me laugh. Yeah.
So the bartender comes over and gives Samantha a drink and says it's from a guy. And apparently she knows him. It was Dominic Domenico, a publishing magnate, and the only man she's ever really loved. Again, lazy writing. What happened? I told you that she was not in love with Small Dick John.
Oh my gosh, do you know what? That scene, I'm like, we started off this season, this very season 2, with you guys telling us that Samantha stayed with this man with a small dick because she was in love with him. Like, did you expect us to forget it, like,
yeah,
10 episodes later? Like, but what?
They didn't expect you to forget, man. I'm telling you, she did not love that guy.
Well, they told us she did. So she told us she did. That's all I'm saying.
So Carrie tells us that, you know, Dominic wined and dined her and dumped her for a model. And she goes, oh, I'm going to go say hello. Miranda says, after what he did to you? Charlotte says, what did he do? Carrie says, he broke her heart. So then it made me think, I'm thinking about that college episode. When did Charlotte become their friend? Because I remember that college episode, Charlotte was not there.
So yeah.
I'm assuming she was Carrie's friend that brought her to the group. But I also don't know the timeline of when did they join. Because clearly Miranda knew, and then, you know, they all knew, but Charlotte did not know. So, yeah.
Do you remember if there's ever, like, a future flashback episode or whatever of how they met? You know how
shows like to do that? And I also didn't watch the TV show that was a prequel, so... Made me think of that Charlotte didn't know. And
honestly, Tane, come on, from the writing we know that you could just retcon something and it wouldn't make sense.
This is true.
And we'll just have to go with it. So
true. So Samantha says he's ancient history. Again, evolution, theme. She has the power and she's evolved. Again, theme, past him. Yeah, so when Samantha says that, I'm like, this can't be good, because in every woman's life, every woman has that 1, 2, or 3 person that's there. What's the word? That guy that just has that hold. I don't want to say what I call it in my real life is Mr. Big. I have a friend and I, we talk to each other like, oh, you're Mr. Big, oh, my Mr. Big, or whatever. That's what we call it, but I'm recapping this show, so I couldn't say everyone has their Mr. Big, because we're still in season 2, but everyone has that person or person.
I broke my shackle of my Mr. Big, the most freeing thing ever. But yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, that makes them feel some type of way. So, hey, we'll see how it develops. So Big is at Carrie's. I'm still never going to get used to that. But I also found it interesting that he just knocked on the door. I'm used to the buzzer and then Carrie opening it, but he just knocked on the door. And he dropped off a bag for her with a few things that she has left at his place.
That scene made me laugh because she looked so gassed. She thought it was a gift.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, here's his shit.
And so nonchalant about it. She's disappointed and wondered why nothing sticks at his apartment. It's like Teflon for women. I'm like, here we go. She tells him, I meant to leave that stuff at your apartment. He says, why? And to be honest, at this point, I just look forward to Big's responses, because he's always ready. Like, I think Carrie says stuff thinking Big is going to break and be like, oh, no, I'm sorry. Big is always like, mm-mm, it won't be me, not today.
Can I say I was surprised that Carrie actually came out and said, I meant to leave that stuff at your apartment? It actually made me a little bit proud of her. Like, oh my gosh, look at you actually saying what you mean to say. For what? I don't know. I have to give her a little bit of props. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, I can give that. Yeah, that's true. I can give that. So she starts making it, like, trying to make it, like, casual. She's like, oh, I don't wake up like this, and it'll be nice not to carry around stuff like a nomad. She says it's not much, and he can leave stuff too. And Big says, I don't want to leave stuff here.
He's too rude.
She starts listing stuff. And he starts listing stuff that he could keep. And then she's like, you know, say socks. He's like, you want me to leave socks? She goes, I don't know. What do you want to leave? She goes, I don't know. Let's save an hour. Why don't you tell me what I want to leave? He's right. He already said, I don't want to leave anything. And you're asking him again, you can leave stuff. What do you want to leave? He just said he doesn't want to leave anything.
Mm-hmm.
So she pivots and then she goes, what is the ideal living situation for two people in a relationship? He goes, exactly what we have. I'm like, I don't think you know who you're going against. And she goes, what is that? And he says, I have my place. You have your place. We're together when we want to be, and we're apart when we want to be. And that was it.
Honestly, that's also my ideal living situation. But anyway, that's another story for another day. But yeah.
Well, okay, let me go back.
Mm-hmm.
In another life, I always used to say that. In fact, I always used to say, like, I wanted, like, the ideal situation would be everyone separated. My space is so huge to me. And I thought it was going to be a huge issue for me when I got married. Like, I'm just don't want anyone on top of me or whatever. And I swear to God that it's not even top 10 of the things that bother me.
Hmm.
I'm so shocked. I used to tell all my friends, I have to live together because I have to get used to it. I have to know what it's like because it's just an invasion and it's too much and it's too this and it's too whatever. And again, not even top 10, not even a thing. And no one is more shocked than I am. Like, it's not.
So do you think I would change my mind if I was, like, married? Maybe I would.
I don't know, but I'm not. I can't say for sure that it will be a thing. And
okay.
That's it. Because I always thought I'm going to need space. I'm going to need this. I'm going to need that. And again, yeah, it's still baby new or whatever, but I don't feel on top of, or I don't feel, you know, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's interesting to hear. But I'm always flexible because it's easy to do a lot of talking until you're in a particular situation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I find that interesting. So I don't want to say, oh no, it's definitely going to, you know, I hate when people do that when they're like, oh, just wait until you'll see. No, because that might not be the case for you. Like, everyone's different.
Yeah.
But I'm just throwing it out as an anecdote that it was just always a huge thing for me. Like, I made a big fuss about it and it wasn't even, like, you know, such is life. It's always.
Okay. Interesting.
Always knocking you down and bringing you to reality. Like, don't feel yourself too much. But
yep.
Yeah. So my thing about it is, I've always said Carrie has an issue. They talk about it, Big minimizes it, and then that's it. Carrie gives in, and that's exactly what's happening right now. He just pulled her to bed and said, "Come here," and then that was it. They literally just had a
conversation. Yep, they didn't actually talk about what was wrong, did they?
So, yeah, she mentioned she needed to leave the stuff, but I don't think that anything got resolved. And then she just started yakking on about single men in Manhattan, that maybe this is what they want, wanting separate togetherness. The fuck?
My thing is, I don't think she's asking for too much. If you want me to stay at your house all this time, yes, I'm going to keep some toiletries there. Who's trying to rush home first thing every day just to, like, put yourself together and having to carry my underwear around in my bag? I just think that's a bit... It's not like she's trying to move in, which is what I feel like. I just got that suggestion, like, from Big, like, I'm not trying to have you sneakily move in. I just feel like it's a bit insulting.
Well,
you want this woman to spend the nights at your place. Like, you can't just have a few things there. I don't know.
I think they were just trying to make a storyline, because we have had that episode where Big did get her a toothbrush. So I really don't see Big as the kind of person that would be so fussed that she left some stuff over there. But hey, they wanted a storyline.
That's
so
a good point.
But I don't think, you know, it would have been really a big deal in line with his character. But Big says, Carrie continues her voiceover, and she says she wondered if she needed to adapt and if her view was extinct. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about at this point. And then she's writing her article, and then she's back in her apartment and asking the question, are New Yorkers evolving past relationships? This makes no sense.
Yeah, this whole thing was so dumb. And again, it just made me think of you, about how New Yorkers want to feel special. What are you talking about?
But it didn't even make sense. Like, what relationship? Oh, you were talking about cohabitating, or, well, actually, just leaving stuff together and being apart when you want to be. And then now you're saying they're evolving past. How do we hop, skip, and jump all the way there? So anyway, she's walking in a park with Samantha having ice cream. And Samantha says relationships have been on decline since women came out the cave and discovered that it's not that hard. Carrie is like, you don't need a man, but you still want one. And I have to agree with her. I've always said it. Like, we've talked about how we wished that it was easier, or we lived in a society where it was easier to still be, you know, feminist, have your beliefs, but still also in the same breath say that you do want to be with someone. And there's nothing wrong with that, because now I think it's kind of seen like there's two separate things, that you can't have both. And I think that's wrong. And I've always said that, you know, when people say, oh, marriage is going to die and, you know, you don't need this, or people just haw and hem, I'm like, don't make people feel bad that they want to be in a relationship, that they want to have someone, because it's just how we're built. It's an innate feeling that we have. So I think Kerry was right when you say you don't necessarily need a man, but you still want one. And that's okay. I think that's the part that's silent, is like, sometimes
yeah,
seem like, oh, you can say whatever you want by the end of the day, you know, but not in the way
I will say, like,
you don't have a man, and that means you're not, no.
I will say though that, and I think I've kind of mentioned it before, like dating nowadays is literally the slums. And I do feel like it's kind of to do with that idea. Like, nobody wants to be the first to commit, like, anymore. So you can be stuck in this like endless situationship if you don't put your foot down and like demand like some boundaries and like what's going on. Because, and it's not just me, I know so many people that they're like stuck in situations where it's like, oh, we're just seeing how it goes, because nobody wants to commit. And I do think it's way worse now than it used to be. And I know for sure I'm not the only one that thinks this, because there have been think pieces, blah blah blah, about the state of modern dating, where it's like nobody wants to commit anymore. You literally just go along on an endless stream of like, let's see where this goes, or oh, we're just like, you know, we're just hanging out, because nobody wants to make a commitment. And I don't think that's necessarily because people don't want relationships. I feel like people are scared to put their foot down and demand a relationship, because nobody wants to seem uncool or like they want something too much. Does that make sense?
It does, but I might have a contrary opinion that I hope, I don't know if it's unpopular or whatever. Okay, so you said people are stuck in a situationship or whatever. I don't necessarily think it's stuck. Like you're saying, they're scared to demand a relationship. That is true. There are two things. There won't be a situationship if the woman, like you said, puts her foot down, assuming that he's the one that is dragging and not wanting to, you know, make a commitment. Remove yourself from that situation. But there usually isn't. Okay, so there's always been that thing where sometimes men do the things they do because we let them get away with it. Yes. So if you're stuck in a situationship, at that point you're choosing to be in it, but they're doing it because they know, like, eh, she's still going to stick around. But if you put your foot down and demand it, you just, I heard of a story, you just might get what it is that you want. But sometimes human beings are stuck in thinking like the situation, this is the best that it could be, and thinking that if you remove yourself from that situation, it'll be worse. It's harder for us to even think like it might even be better, because you might get what you want. I heard of a situation, I remember one time, where this person, she's met somebody and she just felt like, this is who I wanted to be with. And she, there's a way to dress it up. It was an ultimatum. And I'm just like, oh, how? And this was back in the day. You don't make that. You don't do that. You know, whatever. But she told him, if you don't want to be with me, just let me know. No, actually, she said, if you're not going to marry me, just let me know and keep it moving, you know, and stuff. So I think that's one part of it. The second part of it is, as much as, you know, we say that we don't want to commit, the one thing I will stand by till the day I die, when a man wants you, you will absolutely know. If someone is not wanting to put their foot down, that tells you that that is the answer. They don't want to. It's not because, you know, anything. That is the answer. And I implore women to be selfish just like men and take yourself out of the situation and go find someone that would treat you good. So I do feel like when a man wants you, like, there's a lot of men that are committing out there. Like, it's different. Yeah. Like, now everyone thinks they have options and everyone's out there. But there's still the people that when they do want you, I think that men are very, very clear.
Yeah. When they do. I 100% agree with that. But I just feel like it just seems more common now. Like, people not wanting to commit. But you're also right. if you're gonna put up with it, is gonna continue, right?
Yeah, because if people are committing, there's a whole, the wedding industry will be bust. So I think it's more, and this is my prayer for all of us and all for women, is just, it's okay to demand, you know, before it's like, oh, we're talking. Is that what you want? You want more, but you don't say anything. And it's basically just moving in the terms of the guy, of what he says. Yeah. Does he determine it? Does he not? So it's hoping that all women sign up for actually what they want. And then also realizing, because there seems to be more, even with the show, we realize that they seem to give chances to these men that they should drop. Like a hot potato. So, you know, there's commitment out there, but at the same time, I think the people who are prone to do the committing, I don't know. I don't know if it's changed or not. I'm so self-conscious because I never want to sound like, oh, I'm married and I know. I don't think I know. Everybody's just winging it. But I think it's just more the whole thing of nice guys finish last, I think needs to die. Because everyone says that. So I think people, like, there's just a lot more gravitation towards, like, you know, the bad guys, and I did that. I'm like, oh, mysterious, exciting, whatever, but it's not sustainable. So yeah,
I feel like both sides of the equation kind of have to accept some responsibility, but yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, like, let's just stop giving them power, because I think men still feel like they have the power. I don't know if that's going to change, because they're the ones who do the asking and all that. By the time you're like, you do me one, two, I'm out. Because I do feel like women are more, they extend more grace.
Yeah, definitely.
So if we start acting like them, where you've seen the cases where a man would cheat and they'll forgive and then you go back, but then the woman cheats and they're like, okay, bye. If
we start, then also, just an aside, we also extend men a lot more grace than we do our female friends. So that's another story for another day. But
so if we start dropping them like hot potatoes for every little thing, then they'll be forced to sit up and fix up. So So Carrie says she can't decide if Samantha represents the future or the demise of the past. And Samantha says she's the future of relationships. And just throws in that seeing Dominic made her realize how needed she was in the past and how far she's come. And then casually throws in, I'm seeing him Friday night. Carrie's like, no, it took you a year to get over him and he treated you like shit. It's so weird. It's like the tables flipped with her and Big when they were telling her that. And then she's telling Samantha that. And Samantha goes, oh no, it's revenge. And I'll make him want me and he'll move on. And I'm always like, listen. The other thing that we kind of do to ourselves as human beings, don't lie to yourself. Give yourself closure and just move on. Because once you identify that certain people are that person to you, just control yourself or whatever. Back then, one of my Mr. Bigs, after I made that decision, I was like, okay, I need to move my life. I didn't even allow myself to be in the same vicinity because I am not liable for whatever my actions might be. Let me just be honest with myself. I'm not gonna lie to myself. It is what it is.
Everyone has, like you said, has their Mr. Big. And that's why I just always say it's very easy to like judge your friends for making decisions that you think are dumb, blah, blah, blah. That's why I always say like people need to have grace that look, you've also been in that situation and maybe you've overcome it or you find it easier to overcome it, but everyone's built differently. So if you like, how do I describe it? Like the same way, like Samantha would have been the first to have told like Carrie or whatever, whatever. And then we see the tables turn. Like it can always be you. Don't carry yourself like you're above like pining for a man that you shouldn't pine for, all of that. I kind of like that. I feel like it just showed that everyone, even the great Samantha, is human. We all have that side of us and it's no point pretending that. Yeah, you know what I mean, right? Yeah.
So I think for me, I just read it as, oh no, this cannot end well. When she said, like, I want him to want her. I think I think one of the things also is just like, for someone that, you know, that she said, like, yeah, anybody can follow whatever, just didn't even give him the pleasure of that much attention. That's just way too much attention to say, it's revenge, I'm going to make him want me, and then I'm going to move on, and then like, just keep it moving. And, you know, we've seen numerous conversations about this on social media about closure or whatever. Like, just give it to yourself. Like, don't let it come. somebody else. Mm-hmm. Move on. So Samantha and Dominic are at dinner. He's being very complimentary, mentioning his ex, Anka, and it's going well. And they fade to Charlotte and Stefan, who are indoors, and he's cooking. And I'm just like, these ladies, they give one too many chances at all these things. Like, they'll have questions, but they're like, oh, you know, maybe, but okay. But anyways, my point is, Charlotte is still with Stefan. Like, whether or not she thinks he was gay or not, she's still there. She mentions how she sees that he has, like, silk placemats, which I don't even know how that works, but yeah. That she's been eyeing at Bergdorf's. He's like, oh, you have good taste. And she goes, yeah, this is my fantasy kitchen. And then he comes to her and grabs her and kisses her and says, you're my fantasy. So I think she's going back and forth now, like, okay, maybe he's straight. He stops. And then he asks her, is your dress Cynthia Rowley? And then it got weird again. And then she's just playing ping pong. Basically, it's a sexuality ping pong. So instead of opening her mouth and asking, we're doing ping pong. But I guess if she did, we wouldn't have a TV show. So Carrie tells us Charlotte wants to be open-minded, but he was making it very hard for her.
I just feel like that whole, oh, is it gay if a man, blah, blah, blah. Is gay if a man is sexually attracted to other men? That's what makes a man gay.
Yeah, but...
I just feel like all that stuff being feminine, blah, blah, blah. Like, come on.
22 years ago.
A man is gay if he wants to have sex exclusively with other men. This man is attracted to you. And if you feel like, oh, maybe he's bi or not, either just ask him or let it go. Like, everyone likes different types of men for a reason. Some people like very masculine men who are quote-unquote into very manly things. Some people like men who have a bit more, like, are more in touch with their feminine side, blah, blah, blah. There's something for everybody, you know? But you're questioning this man's sexuality, either just ask him or just move on.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. But again, it was 22 years ago, so.
Yeah. I still don't think much has changed, though, to be honest with you, about that. They just hide it better. But yeah.
They go back to Samantha, and Samantha is seducing Dominic, and as predicted, she gives in and has sex with him. She calls Carrie while she's still in bed and tells her that she slept with him, and Carrie's like, oh, no, like that wasn't part of the plan. She goes, no, it's part of the new plan. To remind him what he's been missing, and she can't believe he thought he was a great lover, and she's better than him now. And Carrie describes Samantha as a powerful hybrid, the ego of a man trapped in the body of a woman, which is what I wish for every woman on earth. It's true. I wish that for every woman on earth. It's true. Great. But
we all need more of men's audacity, but anyway.
So Charlotte needs help classifying her find. And instead of asking him directly, she brings Carrie and Stanford to Stefan's restaurant to figure out what he is. He makes a comment about Carrie's hair. He's like, I was wondering. He makes comments on Carrie's hair. And I was just, as I was watching it, I was wondering, were they out or was he only making these advances in private? So I wasn't sure what the dynamic was, if that makes any sense. Like, is he, you know, looking at it?
It makes sense.
Then when he had to go back into the kitchen, he kisses her on the forehead when she leans out for a kiss. And I'm like, huh? So when they leave, Stanford is just like, I find him very attractive, which means that he's straight. And that made me laugh. And he's head over heels.
Hey, at least he knows what's up.
And he said, and I can tell that he's head over heels for Charlotte. And I'm like, how did he get that impression? From what? From bringing out cannolis?
And kissing her on the forehead? Like, fam.
Yeah. Anyway. And then Charlotte is like, what if he's gay and doesn't know? Stan says they always know. Oh, my God.
Of course. How are you going to not know you're gay? Come on.
Then Carrie asks how the sex is, and Charlotte says they haven't had sex. And then I realized that I actually find it a little awkward when Carrie talks about sex. I don't know. It just seems... Honestly, really? It was very lucky that Sergeant Kaparka got this role. Like, I can see Charlotte having sex, Miranda and all that. With her, it was just never believable. It just seemed like a going through the motions kind of thing. Like, that was one part that I didn't think was her strong suit, was me believing.
Maybe she's just...
Yeah.
She's just not sexy enough on screen. Some people just have that gift.
No, sorry, but it's not about that. It's just more about, you know how there's certain people when they talk about sexy, it's like, oh, you said that out loud? Like, they just seem so proper. That's when how I see her. But the fact that even when Charlotte talks about it, I don't even get that. But when Carrie talks about it, I'm just like, okay. So the fact that she didn't ask about sex, I was like, oh, wow. That was just, but yeah. So Miranda's on a date. And I was like, wow, that was quick. These women don't believe in bounce back or anything. But okay. With Joseph Adler, who's a lawyer. He's been chasing her for a while. And she keeps staring at his hair. He catches her and he goes, hey, I have nothing to hide. I have plugins. It's naturally starting to feel in. She said that she refused him twice before. But, you know, her lazy ovary made her feel like she can't refuse a man because of hair plugs. Which goes back to what I say. I just hate that. That is one thing. You know, that we can't do anything about having a quote-unquote biological clock. So he says that she probably thinks he's crazy, but Miranda says, no, actually, you seem happy. And he goes, yeah, I agree. I just never thought I'd be the kind of guy to get hair plugs, but I learned to never say never. And she goes, I get that. Like, I'm beginning to do things that I never would have thought I would. And he goes, like, what? And I'm surprisingly, she tells him the whole story of her ovary. And I'm like, this is a first date, right?
You know, when she said, when he said, like, what? I thought she was going to tell him, like going on a date too. With you.
So,
and I was like, oh, you're telling him all your business. Okay.
Because you can't put it past Miranda. She's in the business of humiliating men. So she tells him the story of her ovary and how now she's considering freezing her eggs. And this idiot says, well, this raises the issue of reproductive technology. Do we want desperate women having babies at 50? And maybe it's the world's way of weeding out the weak. And, you know, it's a ridiculous abuse of sperm, like designer sperm, whatever, ovaries. Like, why don't we just eliminate men altogether? And Miranda just had it. And she's like, hey, I don't need to be lectured about science by a man who's doing crop rotation on his forehead.
Drag him, because he did not have any of that energy for men, like you said, like Alec Baldwin, who are having babies in their 60s.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, what about their ability to be good parents at an advanced age? Like, screw you, man.
Because it's always all about power. You don't have any issue when science is benefiting men, but all of a sudden it's benefiting women, and God forbid women are empowered. I've always said, all these things, when it comes to sexual assault, when it comes to rape, when it comes to just little things, it's all about power. Just wanting to have all that power. Ooh. So, whatever.
I'm clapping for you. You can't see, but yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Miranda decides that she's going off the hormones, and we see a scene of her getting vodka from her freezer. It's one of those little tiny ones up top in the fridge. That was one hell of a frozen freezer. It was like a tundra in there. Like, it was over ice.
She needs to defrost
that and start all over. And I was like, who has a freezer that's that empty? My freezer is packed to the gills.
She doesn't look like she cooks, true to that. Be fair. So
Charlotte decided that she's just going to enjoy making out with Stefan, and Cher was playing in the background. She stops and just ran, like, from nowhere. She's like, have you ever been with a man? He goes, no. Have you been with a woman? Like, what the hell? And then she says, sorry, it's just like the Martha Stewart, the Cynthia Rowley. Are you gay? Finally. And then he goes, I'm a 35-year-old pastry chef who lives in Chelsea. If I were gay, I would be gay. I don't know if that answers anything, but okay.
He was supposed to say if he was gay, he would have told her. Like, he doesn't need to pretend not to be gay. Is what I'm
guessing. But I think it was a huge gap of the writers not telling us why she even thought he was gay in the first place. So that's a huge gap.
I mean,
gap.
We could see it was the stereotypes. That's what I'm saying. What we're talking about what aged badly. He's literally doing every stereotype of gay men, like very like, oh, mincing, like limp wrist. Or it seemed like such a caricature.
Effeminate.
So I think that's what.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So they go ahead and they have sex, and Carrie tells us that Charlotte is relieved that he was straight, or at least a gay straight man. Oh my god, cringy. We have a montage of them having sex, and then Carrie is like, and honestly, after two orgasms, who cares? Samantha realizes that her desire for revenge was not as strong as her desire for him. They're laying in bed, and he just says, "I'm gonna miss you." It's the fact that he's so cold. He's just like, "I'm gonna miss you." She goes, "Oh, where are you going to?" She goes, "Oh, I'm getting back with Anka. It's mostly financial, but I am." And then Samantha loses it. She kept going, "No, no, no, no. You cannot do this to me again." And blah, blah, blah. And Carrie tells us that she couldn't do what he did because she hadn't evolved past having feelings and in a way that was nice to know. I agree. Yeah, I agree.
She's got a heart.
She's got a heart. And at the end of the day, no matter how much they want to present to us that Samantha is, you know, above it all.
Yeah. And also, Samantha should have known better. Come on. This man left you the first time for this model. He's going to do it again. People show you who they are. I'm sorry. I don't believe in those kind of second chances. If you wanted to sleep with them again, do it maybe just for the pleasure, not thinking you're going to get back into a relationship with this man who disrespected you so badly the first time. He's capable of doing it again.
Yeah.
Sorry. Especially since he clearly didn't atone for it in any way in the meantime. So she kind of should have seen that coming.
She should have. But, you know, things happen. So Stefan is making breakfast. Charlotte comes out all in his shirt, post-sex glow. And she hears a noise and she's like, "Oh, what's that noise?" And oh my God, guys, this was the worst scene ever. She hears a squeaking noise and it's a, he goes, oh my God, it's a mouse. And the camera pans to a mouse in the glue trap just trying to get, oh, they bolt.
You talking about it is making my skin crawl right now. You know, neither of us get along with rodents. So I'm just I don't want to see this mouse. I don't want to see this rodent squeaking.
And you could tell that it was extra effects, but the squeaking was so loud. And then they started kicking it back and forth to each other. He's like scared. And he's like, "No, you take her away." She's like, "Do something." He's like, "Oh no, oh my God, oh my God." And then everything Nana was describing earlier, like flailing his wrist and this, like, you know, just going, "Oh, oh my God, so gross, oh this." And then he climbs on a chair and is all, you know, everywhere. And then in that moment, Charlotte realizes that her masculine side wasn't evolved enough for a feminine side that's as highly evolved as Stefan. But let me say one thing. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree. But is it wrong to say...
But you get it, right?
Yeah, but is you it get wrong it? To say that it's something that women do have on their list? Like, women are always like, "Oh, I like..." And, I mean, it's horrible when you hear it, but when they say, "Oh, I like a guy that's a guy's guy or a man's man that does, you know, or like liking someone that's good with their hands or good with tools or stuff like that." So I think they handled it all wrong because it was just one big cliche, one big stereotype. But there are people who, you know, would actually be turned off by having a man that's that effeminate.
I just feel like you're attracted to what you're attracted to. I wouldn't find that attractive because, sorry, if there's a mouse in my house, I'm not going to be scared of it along with my husband. One of us is going to be the bigger person and it's definitely not going to be me because I can't deal with it. So it's like how, you know, people have been talking about the ick and what gives you the ick. You can't help what gives you the ick. I just feel like you can't rationalize attraction unless it's illegal. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, children or animals. I just feel like you can't police what people are attracted to and what they're not. If she doesn't find that attractive, she doesn't fight. What are you going to do, beat her? You can't force her. It is what it is. But yeah, I 100% agree. It was because of the stereotypes and all of that. It just looked worse than it was. But I got it. So
now we know that Charlotte doesn't like, you know, effeminate men. And she doesn't like foreskin. So, you know.
It is what it is.
So anyways, Carrie and Big are cuddling in bed. She's trying to slip off and he brings her back. She says she's going home to wash her hair and, you know, she needs a dryer to do that. And, you know, trying to, like, I think it was Carrie's passive aggressive showing off again. So she goes into the bathroom and she's packing and she finds a picture of them in a drawer in between towels. And Carrie gets all soft and is like, "Oh, as far as I'm concerned, the bar is low." Because it wasn't a picture in a frame, like, "Hey, look at us." It was a picture that might have been accidentally even thrown in there. Maybe it was on the floor. And it was like, "Oh, I'll pick this up and get this later." It was in between towels in the thing. So whatever, that's enough for Carrie. And Carrie goes back to him and she says she didn't have to worry about leaving stuff because she was already there. In between towels, guys.
Not sure,
girl. And she's like, "I'll stay longer." And she goes, "It may be a small step for mankind, but it's a big step for big." And yeah, that's how the episode ends.
It's weird. I enjoyed the episode because there was a lot going on, even though everyone was being annoying. But I did enjoy it though.
I think overall it did. I think it was a lazy Miranda episode because her storyline ended a long time ago and then she had something as serious. But I'm getting the impression that they were not trying to make... It wasn't until later seasons that they started introducing serious things, but they didn't want, you know, they didn't want it to be too heavy.
So tell the people where they can find us.
All right, guys, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at the Rewatch Times 2. TheRewatchTimes2, and that's also the same thing for our email, same thing at gmail.com.
And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you would care to, which you should care to. Thank you, 5-star reviews. Thank you very much, and I hope you all have a wonderful day.